I think I shared this last week, but there's some kind of, I have like some, I always have a goal for each message, but I have some like sub goals also. And I think I told you this last week that I've been trying to match up James with the Gospel of Matthew each week. And in the Old Testament parallel, James would be Proverbs. So James is like a book of wisdom, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Ironically, John Van Gerpen memorized the book of James, and his son, his clone, favorite book is the book of Proverbs. It kind of matches up pretty well there, Van Gerpen's. And so we're looking at James, but we also see a parallel in Proverbs, a parallel in Matthew. And so we're going to continue with that pattern as we kind of look at this next issue here. So sometimes in life, I'm facing a tough situation. I'm sure each one of us face different tough situations from, you know, now and again. And sometimes during this dilemma, I'm looking for advice. And so I've discovered that oftentimes my own opinion is not always the best opinion. I don't always know it's the best choice to make. And so I look for advice, and maybe I'll ask my friends. Maybe I'll look for some Bible verses that apply. Maybe I'll read a book on the subject if I'm really motivated. Then I realize, sometimes when I gather all this information, I realize that they don't all agree. Have you noticed that? And they all seem sound, and they seem reasonable. And sometimes each of these things will state their case well, but they have different ideas of what to do. So have you been in a situation where you do the pro and con list, or you have like in the friendship list, you know, and you're like, okay, Bob says yes, Sam says no, Sally says yes, Betty says bad idea, right? And you have like this, and you're like, what do I do? Okay. Because it's, you know, you have a mixed opinions there. And so I'm sure you guys have been in the same situation. And you're trying to sift through all this information to get the best, to make the best course of action, right? To make the best decision. And so we get some wisdom from social media, right? Great source of wisdom on social media, right? Deep thoughts in a meme, you know, a picture of a cat telling you what to do. And but sometimes we do, unfortunately. We hear wisdom from friends and family. Right? Wisdom, friends, and family. Sometimes that's kind of biased, right? You know, my mom thinks I do no wrong, and whatever I want, it's okay, according to my mom, right? And so sometimes our wisdom from family and friends is not always the best. Can be, though. You never know. We hear wisdom from books or podcasts or blogs, right? So if you just feel like advice on anything, there's like a ton of stuff out there, and so we could get information from that way. And then we have our own ideas and opinions, right? And if we're honest, we have our own ideas and opinions, and when we read something, we go, does that match up with us, right? Or does that listen, you know, is that advice from that person, is that match up with what I think? And if it doesn't, we have a choice to make, right? Well, I know better, or maybe I should learn, right? And it depends on where our pride's at. Sometimes we think I know better. But the idea here is this, that there's lots of wisdom around us, but it's not all equal or all valuable. Is that fair? You can get some bad advice out there. And I told you last week, I like to run, and sometimes when I'm bored, I'll look for running advice, okay? And like 10 things on what not to do. And then like a day later, I'll look at 10 things to do, and they're on the same list. I'm like, I shouldn't do this, and I should do this. I'm like, so some people say, don't stretch before you run. Others say, you have to stretch before you run. And I'm like, what do I do with that? There's like no, you know, what is there? There's no in the middle, right? Just stretch out one leg, I guess. But so James is going to address faith and wisdom in our next series here, in today's series. And he's going to contrast two different types of wisdom. Just like as we ask for advice, we get different wisdom. So we get two different types of wisdom. So as we go back to this message, this looking into James, let's kind of review like the background, okay? So James is writing to churches that were all spread out. They've been persecuted, and they all spread out. This was largely, at the time, Jewish Christians he's writing to, and they're under persecution. And in this church, the majority of the church was poor, and they're being persecuted by the wealthier people. But we also know that there's wealthy people in the church too. So you have like some class issues there. And there was a lot of debate in the book of James about, you know, apparently there's people in the church saying they believe something, but it didn't match up with their words or didn't match up with their works, right? And James kept going, hey, guys, it's got to all match up together. And so today, he's going to go on to wisdom and how what we believe will also affect the wisdom that we listen to. Okay, so here we go. James chapter 3 says this, who is wise and understanding among you? Is a question. Now, hey, do you think you're wise? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Kind of fits the past couple weeks, doesn't it? If you think you're wise, it should show up in your works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. He's like, so do you think you're wise? Do you think you know how to live? Your life will display the evidence of meekness that comes from wisdom. Before I jump into this passage, this message, the meekness that comes from wisdom. That phrase right there probably wipes out a lot of wisdom we hear that's not motivated by meekness, correct? The meekness that comes from wisdom. So James is saying, if you're wise, it's going to lead you to be meek, and that's going to affect your life. Do you see that? So like, we won't go into all the names, but if you can turn on the news, you scroll through a Facebook feed or a Twitter account or whatever, you're going to discover there's a lot of unmeek wisdom out there, right? But James says that there's a meekness that comes from true wisdom. So here we go. So we've got like two different types of wisdom. There's wisdom that comes from above and wisdom that comes from below. So wisdom from below. What are the sources of false wisdom? What are the sources? According to this text, wisdom comes from the humanity. It's apart from God. Okay? So like there's wisdom that comes from humanity that's apart from God. And you think about this. If you, from a Christian worldview, if you believe the world is created by a God, and we are created by a God, and he knows how to live, if you're going to intentionally say, I'm ignoring all of that, and we're going to figure out life apart from whoever designed it, you're going to have a different set of wisdom, aren't you? And so there's a certain type of wisdom that comes from humanity and is apart from God, okay? And so I, years ago in youth group, I did this example where I had all these blocks, okay? And I organized all these blocks. I built like this like little tower up structure thing. And I asked the kids to go, how did that get here? You know, and they go, well, you built it. Like, no, I didn't build it. How'd you get here? And I kind of ruled out the idea of like a designer in this process, right? So they were forced to come up with a different thinking, okay? So it's the same thing with life. If we rule out God's directions on life and how to live in a relationship or in a marriage or how to pursue a career or how to interact with people, if we rule out his thinking, we're on our own. And there's a certain type of wisdom that goes with that, okay? It may not be helpful, but there's a thought process. Secondly, according to this text, there's the devil and his realm. Spiritually in direct opposition with God. So there's actually some wisdom out there that is actually, not only is it just ignore God's presence, but it is actually opposed. You realize that? There's a wisdom out there that is opposed to what God is doing. And what does that false wisdom look like? Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Now, I want you to get this. He's writing this to the church. These churches he's writing to, they had some issues, didn't they? They apparently had some, they did some strange things. They did some bad stuff with their mouth that were very, you know, they're destructive to the church body. They weren't living what they said they were doing. And there's like some issues of wisdom, lack of wisdom in the church where there's a selfish ambition, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. And so that's going on in their church. They're self-centered. And the idea is, what will make me happier? What will advance my career? What I want that someone else has? That was the mindset that was going on in their church. And the idea would be this, I know best, so I should be in charge of something. Can I do that in a church? Now, it happens, okay? Let's just pretend a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, we elected a steward to our team, right? A new steward, I think it was Scott, and some people kind of re-upped them. But let's just say that, can I pick a new Scott? Okay. So let's say Scott was worried it wasn't going to pass. Okay. So Scott's like, hey, next week we're going to vote. Are you going to be at church tomorrow or next week? Yeah, why? Well, I'm running for steward. If you're on a stewardship team, you know you do not run for this position, okay? But I'm running for stewardship team, and I feel like I know what's best for our church, and I don't have any position. I don't have any, you wouldn't say this, but I don't have enough power to lead the church where it should go. And so and you're like, that's kind of different, right? And then let's say Dave Hightower goes, hey, guys, kind of worried Scott wants to be in position, and I'm not going to be on the team, but I'm worried about where Scott wants to lead our church, and I know best, and Scott's off track, and so I'm asking you to vote no on Scott, you know, no on Gilmore, right? And you're having this campaign. Now, this would never happen in a church, right? Officially. Right? But maybe you've been in a church before. There's a lot of discussion behind the scenes, right? And what? It's bitter jealousy. It's selfish ambition. Like, I know best, and I want authority. Or jealousy is like, they've been on that team for long enough. I need to have my say, right? And that sounds legit. And so I think I've heard that before. And so, but that is this jealousy. Or like, let's say somebody shows up to church. You're like, you know, I should be in charge of snacks. I'm a better baker, and I should be in charge of snacks. Mackenzie's like, just take it, you know. But they're like, you know, I should do this, or I should be in this team, or I should be, you know, and you know, who knows? Cameron's playing his guitar. He's like, you know, I got a better voice than Joel. I need a stage. I need this is a mindset. What? Okay, okay. But that is just, we're like, I need my place. And there's all this my and I talk, right? And that's going on. It's a false wisdom. And it comes from a humanistic perspective. And it comes from the demonic, according to this passage, okay? But where does this lead? Okay, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, where does this false wisdom lead? It says here, to disorder and every vile practice. Disorder and every vile practice. There's confusion. There's chaos. It's degrading to the body of Christ. It's you know, I put down here, it's completely bad. You know, when we listen to the wrong wisdom, it leads us in bad places. You know, I'm just thinking of like our current media film industry, right? They've been pushing and advancing this like sexuality is totally opposed to what God wants. Do whatever you want, it doesn't matter. And where has it led them? It's created some controversy, hasn't it? You've been teaching these guys for 20, 30 years in this media culture that they can do whatever they want. And then they do that. And they hurt people, right? And so it leads to all kinds of problems. Wisdom of our world says if we had just a little bit more, we'd be happier. Selfish ambition. If I just had a little bit more, I'd be happier. Where does that lead us? We have greed. We're unsatisfied even when we have more. We're constantly comparing ourselves to somebody else, right? We look at what somebody else has. We're happy with our Ford 150, but then our friends buy a Ford 250 truck. Like, I need the 350, right? There's a competition, you know. Somebody buys a three-bedroom house. Well, I got to have a four-bedroom house. So is that, well, I have to have a four-bedroom house with an office suite with a hot tub in my master bathroom, right? And that'd be sweet. But we are constantly comparing, and we're never happy, okay? And so it leads to extremes. We have people that are extremely wealthy and people that are extremely poor. And so this is what happens when we follow this worldly wisdom. And it's contrasted with wisdom from above. And it says here that, see, God desires a different life for you. He created you to live in a different way, and he provides a different wisdom to help us there. So verse 17 says this, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So what is the source of wisdom from above? It's a wisdom that comes from God. Now, I realize as humans, we struggle with this because we think we know best, and we don't like people to be in charge of us, okay? So let's just kind of like back up. Pretend that you're not human, okay? And pretend like you're part of creation, and you're looking at the human race, okay? And there is a person, there's a God who created these humans. Would it not make sense he'd know how to live? Right? If he created us, if he designed us, would he not know how to do this? And but so the wisdom comes from him, but we push against it. We're part of our sin nature. We tend to be selfish. We think we know it all. But God gives us wisdom. He says, I know how to live this life better. Yes, your Facebook feed says that if you have the house bigger than your friends, you'll be happier, but I know that won't work. You'll have more, but you won't be happier. If you treat people this way, you won't be happier. I know the world says it's going to be happier and you deserve that, but you won't be. It's going to be destructive and it's going to cause problems in your relationships. And so God knows how we should live. So what does this type of wisdom look like? It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. Open to reason. Oh, it takes advice, right? It's reasonable. It's open to reason. Full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial, it's sincere. This is a great list to measure against the advice people give you. It's a great list, okay? So let's say you're looking for advice on an issue, and you talk to your friend, and they're like, you should do that. You deserve that. You're worthy. You've earned it. You need to let everybody else know who you are. And you're okay. Is that peaceable? I don't know. Is that gentle? I don't know. You know what I mean? You can start looking at that list, okay? Let's say you're having a conflict with somebody, you know, and you're like, you think about getting even. And you take a quick poll with your friends. Can I blast this person on Facebook? And they're like, yes, they wronged you. You should pay them back. And you're like, okay, is that pure? I don't know. Is that peaceable? I don't think so. Is that gentle? Definitely not. You know what I mean? Is that full of mercy? No. And so this is a great list to go, this is the advice I've been given. Does that match up? And if it doesn't match up, then that advice may be well-intentioned, maybe not. But even if it was well-intentioned, it's not from God. Okay? It's tainted in some way. So where does this wisdom from above lead? Righteousness and peace. So righteousness, living how God designed us to live. You know, it's without sin, but it's living how God designed us. He's like, hey, Jeff, I want you to live this way. And when I live this way, I'm righteous. I'm doing life how God would want me to do it. And also it's peace. It comes from a peaceful person. It leads to peace. And it's the idea of it's the absence of conflict. And we always think like, you know, war and peace, but there's a lot of internal peace or internal struggle that we have as people and within relationships. And this taking God's advice leads to an internal and relational peace. A lot of times when we're taking other advice, it leads us to conflict. It leads us to compete. It leads us to hurt others so we can achieve what we want. And we look back in the wake of our progress and we've hurt a lot of people and there's no peace. Right? So, if there is wisdom from below and wisdom from above, where do we find this wisdom from above? So James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So James says, ask God for wisdom. He's going to give it to you. Okay. I'm going to match this up with Proverbs, because it's a parallel book. Proverbs 1:7 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This idea of fear of the Lord is like a very healthy respect. Okay? You're not afraid that God's going to smash you like a bug, but he could. right? It's very healthy respect. I'm reverent. I'm gonna follow. I'm gonna trust. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 2, verse 6 and 7 says this: "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity." So I combine all three of these verses here. The idea here is this: if we ask God for wisdom with a desire to learn from him. Ask God for wisdom with a desire to learn from him. Now, I put those qualifying words at the end because frequently this is how I've asked for wisdom. Now, maybe you guys are way better than me, but I think that we're probably on the same page. God, I'd like to do A. And as I think about what I'm going to do, God, I'm curious what you think. You would never say this, not that I'm going to do what you think, but I'd like to know what you think before I make the decision. Have you ever done this before? Okay. So let's say way back in the day, like in the early 90s, okay, I might have met somebody, right? And I'm like, God, I want to date so-and-so. What do you think? I'm not saying, God, I'm going to do what you want. Tell me what to do. That would be what? That'd be trust and surrender and following God. No, I'm in charge, right? I was in charge. I am, you know, I'm a 22-year-old male. I'm in charge. I just wonder what God thinks. Now, anybody else ever approached God like that before? Anybody? Brave enough? Thank you, five of you that are honest, especially if you guys are lying. So, but the idea here is this, that with this idea of the fearing God and asking, is that we're asking God for wisdom with the desire to learn from him. We actually really want to learn and follow. We're like, well, God, lead me. Where do you want me to go? That's putting him in charge. It's not asking for, hey, God, I'd like some knowledge from you, and then I'm going to decide if I'm going to listen to you or me. Right? There's a big difference. That idea does not have the fear of the Lord with it. Okay? So we're asking God for wisdom with the desire to learn from him. We're not asking for his opinion. We're asking for his direction. You see, this idea of asking God for his opinion and then you can decide, that matches up a lot with selfish ambition, doesn't it? And that is the wisdom from below. Okay? So then, if you're going to ask God for wisdom with the desire to learn from him, where would be a good place to find some of God's wisdom? Where would be a good place to find some of God's wisdom? Now, there's a church answer that works all the time, and this is where it would apply. The Bible and Jesus, okay? You may have heard of him, right? Jesus is actually the church answer like half the time, and this time it is actually legitimately the right answer, okay? So you're like, seriously, Jeff, you're going to tell us that Jesus provides wisdom? I could have slept in. I already knew that. I know you knew it, but there's a good chance you're actually not doing anything with it, okay? So here we go. The teachings of Jesus. Most of us know this, but we don't follow it, okay? So here's the thing. We're looking for help with our marriage. We're looking for help with our finance. We're looking for help with how to be a better leader. We're looking for help on our careers. Or we're looking for help, you know, with dealing with a crisis or bad news. And we're looking for help on how to experience joy and peace. But the Bible is often like the fifth person on the list, the fifth thing on the list to look at, right? You're like, So let's just say you're driving down the road and you're like, you know what? I don't have any joy in my life. And I feel like I'm just in a routine and I want more joy. Okay. And so you don't get home and go, I'm going to get out my Bible and figure out where joy's at. And here's what happens. You call your friend, right? And you're like, I don't have any joy in my life. And how do you have joy? Because you seem so happy on Sundays and you're taking their advice. And you're like, oh, you got that from a blog on Facebook. I bet she's really smart. And so you go on Facebook and hey, and it's like a 15-year-old telling you how to do joy, right? But anyways, you don't know their age. And so, sorry, 15-year-olds. But you're on a Facebook page, you're reading a blog from somebody you have no idea, but they have the word joy in their description, and you're like, oh, they're smiling. They must be happy. And so we have our friend's advice, we look at the Facebook feed, and we're like, ooh, I'm not sure that really works. I'm going to dig deeper. I'm going to Google it. And we get Google, and we find some WordPress article on it, and we're like, oh, I am so more knowledgeable about joy. And then your husband goes, really? And you're like, I'm going to get a book that's in print because it has to be legit. And so you go and buy a 200-page book with no pictures, and it's all about joy. And you're like, maybe I should check out the Bible too. Sorry, I kind of got a little animated there. But the point is this, but we all do this, do we not? Okay, honestly, a lot of times I turn to God when he's like my last option, okay? There have been times in like true transparency, I've told God, I've tried everything else, I'm going to give you a shot this time, right? So, right, but isn't that true? And God's like, Jeff, you loving dummy, I love you and I have wisdom for you, and you're talking to your friend and you're reading a blog and you're reading and you're on the internet and you're on this, and I got these good ideas, Jeff. I got wisdom. I built this place. I know how it works, right? And we know the teachings of Jesus, but the reality is he's not our first choice most of the time. And I'm doing this message so you move him up the list. Okay, so interesting. Jesus wrapped up his most famous message with this story. Okay, Matthew 7 says this: everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. Here, let me back up. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Does that not sound like James? Hear and does? So Jesus just taught this long message about life. He goes, if you hear these words and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Every time I read this story, I think about the three little pigs. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you. Okay. So the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, you guys may not know this, but there's a famous building in San Francisco. I got a slide there for me, Pat. Have you guys read the story about this building? It's the Millennium Tower. Joe Montana used to have a suite somewhere in this building. Is there a picture? There you go. Okay. So that is a tower. It opened in 2009. There are like small one-bedroom apartments going for like $1.5 grand. I mean, $1.5 million. $1.5 grand, I'd be there. Okay, so $1.5 million in this building. It opened in 2009. It's 58 stories high. It's sinking. Do you guys hear this? It is really sinking, okay? It has already sunk 17 inches, and it's not sinking straight down, okay? So it's sunk 17 inches, and it's starting to lean like 14 inches, okay? It's a problem. So people who bought these houses for $1 to $2 to $3 to $4 million are not really happy. Could you imagine? You build a building that big, and you discover that you didn't build on something solid. Now, it's tough in San Francisco. There's like a ton of silt. You know, they have to all these plans about they're going to have to drill like way down and like 30 more pylons in the ground and try to attach them to the bedrock. So if you live there, every time you leave your building, you're going to have to pass construction zones for a long time. They're still trying to figure out how to fix this building, okay? So, but this is kind of like our life. The longer we live our life and the more we listen to the wrong wisdom, the more we build our lives on sand, the bigger the fixing process is, right? The more we trust the wisdom of from below, the bigger mess we're going to make. And I think of our lives and we're like, what happened? And you look at it and you're like, I am way off course. I got a lot of work to do. Luckily, God in his grace, he works with us and he helps us. But what if we listened to God's advice earlier? You know, what if the teachings of Jesus outranked your friend? What if you listened to the teachings of Jesus more than Google or more than your social media account or whatever, right? And you started making different decisions. When you got advice, you started looking, is that peaceable? And is that pure? Is there selfish ambitions? Sometimes you'll get advice from people and they're telling you what you want to hear so you'll like them more, right? Or they're telling you what you want to hear so that they can get something else from you, and there's a lot of selfishness involved. And And Jesus goes, there's a better way. There's wisdom from above, and it helps you live differently. Now, I think this is kind of cool, okay? But I want you to look at Matthew to the beginning of this sermon, okay? So let me review back here. Pat, this is not in the slides, so just chill. Okay, so the words that wisdom looks like from above are pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, which means they're teachable, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, and sincere. Then I went to the end of Matthew 7, the end of Jesus' big Sermon on the Mount. But I want to look at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount and see how the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount matches up with what we read in James. Okay, so check this out. Where are we? Matthew 5. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, which is knowing you have a need, right? James says, you know, if you lack, ask God. So poor in spirit, knowing they have a need, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it's they're knowing they have a need. It's open to reason, wanting to learn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek and gentle from James applies there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Following the wisdom from above what? Leads to righteousness. If you have a thirst for righteousness, leads to righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. James says the wisdom from above is pure. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the sons of God. James says the wisdom from above is peaceable, and it leads to peace. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And once again, James says that when we follow the wisdom from above, it's going to lead to a righteous life. So what's the goal of this message? The goal of the message is this, is to encourage you to seek and follow the wisdom that comes from God. God has a wisdom to help you live the lives he's created for you and I to live. Many of us, I think, would agree that God has a lot to say about our lives. But here's the thing, guys. Many of us don't know what he does say about our lives. A lot of times we're in church, we hear so much, well, God knows what's best. God teaches us how to live our lives. But many of us haven't actually taken the effort or the time to discover what he has said about life. There's a lot of people who've been in church a long time, and they don't know what he says. They don't know what the Bible says. They're like, well, I know Jesus has answers, but they don't really know. You start asking them questions, and like, that sounds spiritual, but that's not in the Bible, right? Or that's really out of context. You're like, you're kind of missing the whole point of that passage. And so here's the thing. Knowing that God has wisdom isn't enough. You're going to have to look for it. You're going to have to listen for it. You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to talk to God about this, okay? So I guess what I was thinking is this. We kind of need to have a reality check about our lives. Sometimes we get so busy just chucking through life, going through routine, that we don't realize which wisdom we're listening to. Okay? Because you see, the Bible is not going to just follow you to the breakfast table and dance in front of your face and make you read it. Okay? It's not. Okay? Now, if you're on Facebook, you might have a friend who posts a verse every day, and you might see that cute verse with a fancy graphic, and it's really neat and fancy. But I'm challenging you to go more than that, okay? But our media screams at us every day. Billboards every day, right? Our friends talk to us every day. People at work are telling us how to live our lives. And if we don't make an intentional decision, say, okay, I'm getting all this wisdom, but I need to go to God's wisdom and see what's right. I need to filter it through God's wisdom. We're in trouble. What happens is we attend church, we call ourselves Christians, but we're building a tower that's going to lean. Do you see that? And so my challenge for you guys is this, is you know that God has wisdom. You know that Jesus teaches us how to live our lives, but I'm asking you guys, I'm challenging you guys to read about it. To spend some time. And then don't just like read it so you can like I use the YouVersion Bible app, and I love it, okay? I'm in a new plan this last week, and last 2 weeks, I really like it. And honestly, there's something about clicking the last arrow and it says, I'm done for the day. Anybody else do that? Doesn't it feel cool? Like, done for the day. I'm like, yes, I love that. I like checking things off my list, right? But the goal of my Bible reading should not be so I can go, done for the day, and I get this cool check mark and a smiley face or whatever. The goal is to look for God's wisdom and say, God, life is complicated, and I need your help. Show me how to live this life that you've designed me to live. And so my challenge for you guys is to read your Bibles. You're only going to learn so much from me. Honestly, okay? And you're only going to learn so much from a verse of the day meme on Facebook. And you're only going to learn so much by even listening to podcasts. There's something powerful about spending some alone time with God, listening to, reading his word and going, God, teach me how to live my life. James says there's two types of wisdom out there. And one leads to a peaceful, righteous life, and one does not. You guys have the power to choose what you're going to listen to.